welcome to Saving Animals with Blank Park Zoo. I'm Ryan Bickle. On today's show, we have two very special zookeepers here at Blank Park Zoo, and we've had some exciting news recently in the seals and sea lion pool. Some great news. And with me today is Katie Lothrop. She is the assistant supervisor in the area, and also Kelsey Kovacevic, an animal keeper, carnivore and primate keeper.
Yeah.
All right. So welcome to the show.
Thank you.
Thank you.
And so first of all, let's get each of your backgrounds. Tell us a little bit about yourself, Katie.
Definitely. So I've been here at Blank Park Zoo for just over 1 year. I'm the assistant supervisor in the carnivore primate department. I come the last 12 years, however, split between the Minnesota Zoo and the Omaha Zoo. So happy to be here at Blank Park Zoo. Very excited to be part of the carnivore primate team, especially with all the exciting things that have happened the last year here.
Yeah, you got here right in time, because not only do you work with seals and sea lions, but you also work with our lions, right?
Yes, I was here just in time to celebrate the birth of the lion cubs last year.
So lots of changes. And Kelsey, welcome to the show.
Yeah.
Tell us how you arrived here at Blank Park Zoo.
Well, I've been here for just a little over 2 years. Before that, I actually worked at the Fort Worth Zoo down in Texas for about 5 years. But I grew up in Des Moines, and my two internships were actually here at Blank Park Zoo. So once I got a little tired of the heat of living in Texas, I decided to make my way home and was able to come back here and work. So that was pretty exciting to get to work as a full-time keeper where I interned.
Yeah, when you said 2 years, I thought, no, it's got to be much longer than that. But I remember you from the internship.
Yep. So, yeah. Quite a few people remember me as an intern, so I'm like, I'm all grown up. Yeah, thank you. I am hard to forget. So, yeah.
Well, great.
Thank you.
And we've had exciting news. We talked about lion cubs earlier this year, but also a seal pup was born. So, Katie, take us through, when did we find out, and were we expecting it? Were we hoping that they would have a baby?
Yeah, so part of something we can be really proud here in Des Moines is we have served as a home here at the Blank Park Zoo for wild animals that were not re-releasable into the wild due to different injuries or illness. That was the story with our Pacific Harbor seal, Ross and Rue. They came to the zoo in 2011. Each of them was stranded and deemed non-releasable by a rescue group out of Vancouver for different medical reasons. And so we were very excited that they were compatible. And they, on August 3rd, we came in at about 2 o'clock in the morning. Maru had given birth to a pup that we were able to see through our video monitoring. So we came in the morning and very happy and excited to see that she gave birth to a very healthy seal pup. So kind of a happy ending for our wild seals that were not releasable to the wild and to form a family group here in Des Moines.
And the seal pup was big, right?
I mean, that's
what I heard.
He was huge. Yeah. He was huge. He was about a third of the length of his mother. He was about 30 pounds. We did not go in and disrupt them right away. We waited a few days, let them get acquainted with each other, doing a lot of monitoring, making sure he was nursing okay. She was taking care of him, making sure that all was good. A few days after, our vet staff and we went in to do an exam on him, and he was already about 30 pounds. We have not weighed him since, just because, as you can imagine, mom has been pretty protective of him, and he's still getting to be acquainted with his new trainers. So we definitely expect him over probably 60 pounds or over by now. He grows very fast.
I would describe him as a giant blob.
Yeah, he is a giant blob.
He is a blob, yeah.
His flippers look very small next to his giant body, but
tiny
what's
little head.
Kind of fun is mom will he'll nurse from his mom every couple minutes. A few minutes every couple hours.
Yep.
Their milk fat is about 50%. So the pups will grow very quickly, because within 4 to 6 weeks of being born, they will be weaned off of mom. So it's a very quick process.
Mm-hmm. So, Kelsey, take us through how we try to simulate the wild with this weaning process?
Yeah, absolutely. So thankfully, Maru's been such a very good mom, and obviously the pup is doing very well, but we allow plenty of space for Maru and the pup to either be together or be separate. And at the point when we start to see that the pup is spending more and more time away from mom, she's able to spend more time kind of away from him to the point where they would naturally separate themselves. Because in the wild, you typically see seals and sea lions in big groups together. And at some point, the mom's going to say, okay, you're an adult now, go, you know, be a real seal. And she will just take off. So here, since we unfortunately have them in an exhibit together, they're still going to be around each other, but just allowing all the space that we have that they can be naturally separated into one pool or another. And right now, Maru tends to hang out in our salt pool on the exhibit, and the pup loves being in the big pool right now. So for us, it's very natural for them to separate themselves. So it's been going well.
All right. Yeah. So there might be a time when we have one or the other in our back area.
Where yep, exactly. Yeah, because at some point we need the pup to start learning how to eat fish. And he is going to have to be fully weaned before that process happens. So Maru might start to spend more time inside, and she's very comfortable. That's kind of her safety space is in a holding in the back. So,
yeah, and it was also very important. people have asked me, you know, when can I see the seal pup? And I just sort of say, well, maybe, you know, come to the zoo and maybe you might be able to see him. But tell us why that is, why we can't have him outside all the time.
Yeah, so what some of the public might not know is we have off-exhibit space. It's not space that the public can see. This is very important for the safety and health of our animals. They like to have space where they can be away and have some privacy. So we like to have the option for the animals to go back and be alone if they want to go back and be alone. So when he was first born, when Monty was first born, he was in the back exhibit space with his mom, and we gave them the choice to go out. They chose not to go out, which is fine. If that's where they're most comfortable, that's where we want them to be. Well, it didn't take very long for him to want to go outside with Dad and swim in the big pool. So now that's why he's outside, because he chooses to be outside. He's getting more comfortable. But we still want to give them the opportunity to go back in the more secluded space if necessary. So when people come, if they don't see the seals or sea lions right away, we just want them to keep in mind that they might be temporarily back in that exhibit space that's behind the scenes. But we try to work on giving them the maximum space every single day, day and night. So they get to choose where they want to be and where they're more comfortable.
Also, they share the outdoor habitat with some sea lions. So yes. Tell us how the sea lions factor into all this.
So we didn't know right away how the sea lions would react to the new pup. So when Maru gave birth, we did separate them. They still had access to each other through mesh, kind of like chain link fencing you'd have at home, so they could see and interact with them through that protected barrier. We very cautiously did introductions between the seals and the sea lions. We were all staff on hand just in case someone got too excited. But actually, the sea lions didn't pay much attention to Monty. They checked him out, but they left him alone. Mm-hmm. Mom was a great mom. She was very protective. When Dad, Ross, got reintroduced, Dad and pup bonded very well. And now we're happy to say today, the pup and Ross spend all day swimming and hanging out together. Mm-hmm. When we take Ross out to train, the pup follows. So everyone gets along beautifully. We couldn't ask for a better situation.
And that's really how the seals and sea lions sort of handle each other most of the time, right? They sort of give each other their space.
Definitely. I think, you know, I was fortunate. I just got back from Monterey in July and was able to see Pacific Harbor seals and California sea lions out in the wild all together hanging out. They like to be in large groups. They're pretty gregarious as a species anyways. So we like that we can offer that similar experience here in a human-managed population like you'd see out in the wild. And they get along really well.
Really well.
And they have the choice to leave each other. If they're not getting along, they have space to move away from each other.
All right, Kelsey, why don't you tell us basically what the difference between a seal and a sea lion is? Maybe some people confuse the two.
Yeah. Well, the biggest difference you're actually going to see is just their coloring. Our California sea lions, they're going to be a dark color, or a solid color, I should say. So they can range from a dark brown all the way to a light color. Whereas our Pacific Harbor seals are going to be speckled or spotted. So that's kind of the first way to easily identify the differences. The next biggest thing is going to be their way their flippers are oriented and how they swim. So the California sea lions got big front flippers, kind of like paddles like you would use in a rowboat. And that's how they that's the motion that they're going to use to propel themselves through the water. And then those sea lions can also rotate their hind flippers. So when you see them walking on land, it almost looks like they have four legs that they're able to walk on. Our harbor seals have to work a lot harder when they're on land. So their hind flippers can't rotate, and they've got very small front flippers. So essentially, they have to have really strong abdominal muscles to essentially inchworm along the ground. And they can move pretty quickly when they want to. But while swimming, they are going to use their hind flippers to propel them through the water. So their flippers will actually kind of stretch out, and they'll do a sideways motion that way. The other biggest way to tell them apart, which is can be very difficult because it's very small, are their ears. So the California sea lion has external ear flaps, just kind of like how we have our ear flaps. Our ears, not our flaps. And then harbor seals are going to have essentially holes in their head, and it looks similar to like a bird or a reptile. But those are kind of the quickest, easiest ways to tell them apart, too.
Well, great. Yeah, I always think it's fun to go down into underwater viewing and just watch how they swim underwater.
And
I think that's always exciting. Okay, let's talk about training.
Okay.
And, you know, you guys are like the stars of the zoo because...
I think our animals are.
They make us look good. But, I mean, we started that training program, what, 12, 14 years ago?
And it's the longest, I think, established training program here.
Could you take us through that?
Yeah, pretty simple. We do positive reinforcement-based training, and simply it's just we find something that the animal really enjoys, and we use that, and fish seems to be the top of their list. So every animal in that area actually gets trained, and we start with very simple behaviors like targets, and then we can use that targeting to kind of shape other behaviors and more complicated. We primarily focus a lot of our training on our medical and husbandry training. So simple like showing us their flippers, opening their mouths for teeth checks, allowing taction. It's really important for them to allow us to touch them to make sure everything is good on their bodies. Secondary taction, too. Our vet staff does need to come and be able to get their eyes and hands on these animals as well. And they do really well at that. But then, you know, California sea lions especially are very high energy animals, and they love doing high energy behavior. So that's why we've also trained fun stuff like the ball jumps or hoop jumps, kind of more interaction for our guests to kind of see these guys and all the variety of behaviors that they can do, because they are extremely intelligent animals. And sometimes they'll pick a behavior up in one session, and sometimes it can take months. It just depends on the behavior and the individual animal.
And what's really fun about the seals and sea lions is a lot of the behaviors that they do are based on their natural behaviors. So sometimes people come in and they're excited to see our sea lions do a ball jump and stand up on front flippers. And they say, oh, those are great tricks. And what we want the guests to know, and big part of our educating here at the Blank Park Zoo, is to teach them that it's not just tricks. They're actually extensions of their natural behaviors. You know, why would a sea lion need to jump out of the water in the wild? To avoid predators, to play, to maybe, you know, spar with other animals for breeding rights. So there are tricks to some people, but to us, they're just extensions of their natural behavior. And it really opens up that door so we can talk to the public about how awesome they are, how their adaptations are, how these behaviors that they're exhibiting would help them survive in the wild. Kind of opens up that window of communication to our guests about why these behaviors are important here at the zoo and in the wild, which is part of the reason we like to do our training programs three times a day.
And that's a great point. rather than tricks like you would mm-hmm. see at a circus, we're doing these behaviors to help them reinforce behaviors that are natural to them.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. They find it rewarding. It helps build the trust-based relationship between us and the animals, which is huge. Some behaviors that we practice every day have huge impact in their daily mm-hmm. care, too, like Kelsey was saying with the vet checkups. You know, we practice doing these things every day. So if an animal does become sick or injured, hopefully their treatment isn't scary because, hey, I've been doing it every day for years. It's nothing new. It's just part of the day. So it can really reduce stress for the animals and for us. You know, we spend mm-hmm. our blood, sweat, and tears with these animals. So by practicing these behaviors every day, hopefully it's less stressful for us as well and safer for everyone.
Mm-hmm. And these behaviors have helped out.
Yes.
Especially with some big procedures yep. we've done veterinary-wise. Mm-hmm. Seals and sea lions both have eye issues, it seems yeah. like, a lot. So could you take us through some of those procedures we've done?
Yeah, absolutely. So through a lot of research right now, we are discovering that pinnipeds, which, you know, seals and sea lions, that's the group they belong to, are developing eye complications in the wild and in a human-managed facility. And a lot of it is based off UV, their diet, and pollution. So because we do have animals here that did come from the wild, they were just not released because of various issues, eyes being one of them. Eye drops are a huge thing that we do daily in every single session. So just like Katie said, continuing to do some of that stuff throughout the day and at each training session is when we do need to actually kind of evaluate medically what's going on. They're like, oh, we're used to doing it. So all of our animals are trained for eye drops. Our sea lions particularly allow vet staff to take eye pressures. And if anyone has had an eye pressure test, it is a probe that touches your eye very quickly. So for us, it kind of is intimidating, but these animals hold their eyes wide open and allow for that. We do eye staining and all sorts of stuff. So because we've had animals come in with cataracts particularly, we actually did some surgeries to help correct some of those problems. So Zoe, our 7-year-old California sea lion, when she stranded in the wild, she actually had fully developed cataracts in both eyes, and they caused her to be completely blind. About 2 years after arriving here, she underwent surgery and removed the cataract. So the cataract grows on the lens of the eye. So they just simply removed the entire lens. But the eye is still functioning. You just have to kind of see a little bit differently. But since Zoe was blind for so long, for her, she bounced back very quickly after the surgery because she went from not being able to see at all to seeing everything. So we were really excited that surgery was also very, very successful. And then Addie, our 6-year-old sea lion just under her, she had cataracts in one of her eyes, which was causing her some issues. We were just starting to see her squinting her eye a lot, holding her kind of eye closed really tightly, just simple signs that we were noticing that could be painful for her. So she underwent the same kind of surgery in the one eye and had that lens also removed. And all of our training leads up to procedures like that because we've got medications, eye drops, and orally that the animals have to take. For those procedures to even happen, the animal has to go into a crate to be transported up to the clinic. And thankfully, through our training process, those animals, Zoe and Addie, did all those behaviors just on their own, voluntarily. It was very nice and smooth. We have a great vet staff here on grounds, and we brought in some specialists to kind of help with the procedures to make sure everything went well. And so far, everybody's doing really well after all of that.
And it's amazing. I've been here a long time and was involved in a procedure many, many years ago before the training program. And to be able to get the animal into a crate on its own is an amazing stress relief,
yes,
both for the animal and the keepers.
Yes.
It's amazing how much better that is because of this training program.
Yeah.
So let's switch gears a little bit and talk about wild, on their own seals and sea lions and some of the issues maybe they're facing conservation-wise.
Yeah, so Pacific harbor seals are the widest ranging of the pinnipeds. They're found north of the equator in both the North Atlantic and Pacific Oceans, as well as the North Seas. So they're very well represented. Their population's around 500,000 individuals. So it's really, really good and encouraging. But that does not mean that they do not experience a lot of trouble right now. One of the big things that wildlife experts will say is human disturbance is a huge problem for Pacific harbor seals. Part of the reason is they spend about 50% of their time on land, on beaches, hauled out. They also give birth to their pups on land. So when they're on these beaches, the human disturbance is a real problem. So when moms will leave their pups to go out to forage for food and get fish, the pups are left alone, can be easily separated from their parents at an unnatural age, and it causes all sorts of problems. So wildlife rescue centers will get a lot of pups every year, and a lot of times, unfortunately, it was due to human disturbance. Sometimes these animals are sick or injured because of that. And the other huge problem for our marine mammal friends is pollution. So animals are getting caught in fishing nets. They're getting, you know, lacerations from being hit by boats. Seals and sea lions, especially sea lions, can jump up on fishermen's docks and boats, which causes a huge conflict between fishermen and wildlife. So we can have injuries and even deaths due to that. So they're definitely not out in the clear as far as, I guess, human-wildlife conflict.
Yeah, because even a pollution, you know, seals and sea lions like to sometimes eat rocks mm-hmm. and foreign objects. We've found that to be the case here. And, you know, something as small as a penny could be potentially fatal to one of them.
Absolutely. If anyone who spends time on the coast knows, you can see just garbage, litter, things like that. And absolutely, sea lions can ingest foreign objects. One of the big issues we have here is people get very excited at our sea lion pool and will unfortunately sometimes throw toys or coins into the pool, which can ultimately endanger mm-hmm. or even kill one of the seals or sea lions. Now imagine all the pollution in the wild, in the ocean, on the beaches, and definite issues that can occur because of that.
Tell us more about the situation, Kelsey.
The biggest impact is human caused. It's simply, you know, beachgoers seeing these animals hauled out on the beach and they want to take a selfie, they want to take a Snapchat, you know, they get too close. And it just is, it's not good.
I've seen a couple of viral videos where mm-hmm. it doesn't really end well for the human.
No. Marine mammal bites are not good.
They're not good.
Marine mammals have, particularly sea lions, they've got a lot of bacteria in their teeth or in their mouths. So sea lions actually don't have enamel to protect their teeth like we do. Instead, they grow this nice, for them, healthy bacteria that helps protect their teeth. So if you ever come to any of our training, you can see when we ask for them to open their mouths, their teeth are black. It's not because they're not good or, you know, they're dying, decaying. Yeah.
Correctly.
They're good, healthy teeth, but a bite from an animal with that kind of bacteria is not good for us. And you typically do need to go to the doctor right away. And unfortunately, social media, you know, it's awesome to get videos liked or all these comments because you picked up a baby seal or a baby sea lion or, you know, you got too close. A sea lion bit somebody and pulled them in. You know, it's just, we just need to be very respectful of the wildlife. Mm-hmm. And like Katie said, human conflict is unfortunately the biggest issue for a lot of these animals, especially when we're feeding these animals as well. These animals learn that they can just get food from people. They're just going to continue to bother fishermen, and fishing is their livelihood, and they're not going to let anything get in the way of that. And so unfortunately, the animals end up with the wrong end of the stick on that one. So mm-hmm.
We have a couple minutes left. What are some things that people here in Iowa can do to help wild seals and sea lions?
Well, definitely. We're lucky, like we said, to have wildlife rescue animals. We feel like it really helps people connect on a more emotional level. Addie, for example, she is our special sea lion that has the number and letter marking on her side that people know her for. She was part of a wildlife research project in California when she was a wild sea lion also. That's where she received that number letter marking. And we love to use her story kind of as a way to reach out to people and what you can do and to help, you know, wild animals like Addie. So one of the big things is sustainable seafood choices. You can download an app on your phone. You can look it up online. You can grab a seafood watch card here at the zoo and have it in your wallet or your purse when you go buy your seafood at a grocery store or at a restaurant, making really good sustainable choices when we purchase our seafood, because seals and sea lions in the wild, they go hunting for fish, and oftentimes they're finding higher mortality in seals and sea lions because they're not finding enough fish to eat. They're having to go farther out into the ocean to find fish, things like that. So sometimes we can over-harvest some of our fish in the wild. So we just want everybody to practice knowing what seafood is better to buy, what seafood is sustainably harvested. Here at the zoo, fish makes up a huge part of our budget. So our seals and sea lions all eat human restaurant quality fish, both herring, capelin, and squid. So the fish that we feed our animals is very high quality human grade also. So just being aware of what you're purchasing, also being aware of our plastic use. I know that's a big hot topic issue right now, but anything reusable, less plastic waste, please recycle. Keep our waters clean. Just kind of the common sense. Be good. Be good to the environment. Be good to the seals and sea lions.
Yeah, I bike a lot, and people that listen to this program know that. And you go near any waterway, and even in a place like Des Moines, Iowa, where we have really good recycling, really good trash pickup, and that sort of thing. But you go near any waterway, especially after a flood or anything like that, and the waterways are just filled with plastic bottles and straws and plastic bags. And it's just, it's, well, it's a little disgusting, but first, then you know that flows through the rivers to the oceans. And there you go.
Oh, yeah.
Well, and we're all guilty of it, too. I mean, we go to the gas station sometimes on break and grab a soda. I mean, you can't be perfect, but I think the more we do to individually at our own families make some choices, any little bit helps.
Oh, yeah.
Sure. Well, amazingly enough, we're out of time. So I said it would fly by, right? So if you want to learn more about the Seafood Watch app, you can go to the App Store, and it's called Seafood Watch. And if you want to see our seals and sea lions, we do it every day during the summer, and then like in May and September, we do it just on the weekends. And then, you know, there are other times where you do the program, but it's not necessarily narrated. So that's that's basically every day we do that. So you can see that, or you can check out blankparkzoo.com or our YouTube channel. You can learn all about our pinnipeds on those sources. So we'll see you next time for Saving Animals with Blank Park Zoo.